Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. According to the old Scottish proverb, clothes make the man. So, according to that, how you dress makes a difference. Look at the bulletin cover this morning. That illustrates some of the clothes of a Christian. Let's look at the epistle lesson for a moment to see about a set of clothes that we wear as we walk through our time on earth. Verses 11 and 12 say, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." On a stormy night, a man was headed to a masquerade ball in the Midwest. He was dressed in a bright red devil's costume, complete with the horns and the forked tail. He was driving from his home in the country out into the city. When his car skidded off the road and into the ditch, he tried, but he couldn't get the car out of the ditch. So it was pouring rain, and he saw at a short distance away a brightly lit building. It was the only building that he could see in the rain. So he made his way across the muddy field to the building. Turned out, it was a small country church. The members were gathered for supper in the fellowship hall. You can imagine the initial shock when the door opened and in from the storm walked the devil. It's kind of wonderful, though, how the whole thing turned out, however. The man exchanged his wet and muddy costume for some warm and dry clothes that were provided to him by the parishioners. And he was warmly welcomed to the supper, where he made many friends. And many of these turned out later would become his best friends. In the future, he would say that this was the most pivotal night of his life, the night he exchanged a masquerade party and the devil's costume for warm, dry clothes and the wonderful fellowship of a church family. The clothes he had on coming into the church certainly made an impression on the folks. But the folks also made an impression on him. Now, the symbolism contained in the shedding of the devil's costume for genuine fellowship among caring Christians is central to what we are talking about today, which is, a Christian wears clothes not of his own making, and Christian clothing makes a difference for life. What do you as a Christian wear in your heart? In the gospel lesson, Jesus speaks of what comes out of a man's heart, and that is what defiles him. That speaks to our whole nature as being, as we confess, corrupt and sinful. But you have been given the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers your sins, to cover all those things that come out of a person's heart that Jesus says defiles them. It is His robe which covers all our sins. As you wear His robe, you bear His righteousness. As you wear His robe, you bear His righteousness. You wear that robe. It's put on us in our baptisms. You have now been clothed and made new from the inside out. And again, this is not by your own doing, but by the gift of faith granted to you by Christ in your baptism. So, now, you wear Christ's clothes in your heart. And as that's true, then it's Jesus and his words and actions that will be what comes out of you. Out of your mouth, out of your actions, out of all of your doings. Yes, true. The clothes that we choose to wear each day give us our look, our outer look that the world sees. But the clothes that Christ puts on us give us an eternal look. And that look, that fashion, will never go out of style. And it's that fashion of Christ's righteousness that we're to teach to our children and to our children's children according to the Old Testament lesson today. We are to teach them God's ways. After all, it's the words and works of God that transform you and I from sinner to saint. Just like the man in our story going from devil to disciple. And that change, by the way, is final. That change is completed for us, made final for us by Christ alone. It's the words of Jesus as he speaks them from the cross. It is finished. Those words make our transformation real. True. That statement of Jesus tells us that we are done with our old ways. The ways of sin, the ways of Satan, are what we renounce in our baptismal vows. Those, the old ways, are put off, they're covered over, and they are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross alone. By his death, he sealed those words, "It is finished," for each of us. And by his resurrection from the grave, his triumphant victory over sin, over death, and the devil was fully complete. He then grants us his gift to wear his robe of righteousness, won for us on that tree. Now, that robe is not one that we make. We don't put that robe on ourselves. But it is what is put on us by grace alone, like we just sang about in the hymn. It's what we now wear. And do the clothes you wear really make you? Yes, they do. Especially when those clothes are the ones you did not make for yourself. The clothes that make the man or woman of God are the clothes that he alone, by his grace and mercy, puts on you. And that robe of righteousness is not the only clothes we put on and wear either. Let's return to the epistle lesson. I want you to hear again the other things that make up the clothing of a Christian. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Those are the clothes. Some of you know that I used to be a haberdasher. A haberdasher, kind of like Harry Truman was at one time. Haberdasher is a fancy word for a guy who sells men's clothes. That's all it is. When my customers would let me pick out accessories to go with their suit, I could put things with the suit that would make the customer look better. I was trained and I learned what would help to make a suit work to its best advantage for each guy. I had knowledge of what was available, things that they wouldn't know about. So, I could put those things to work for the customer's benefit. For instance, a suit without a shirt, it looks a little silly. And a shirt without a tie doesn't use the suit to its best effect. Same way, the wrong shoes and socks would also ruin the look of the whole suit. So I would help pick out those things. Things that would make the customer feel and look good. The point is, God knows best what we need to be clothed with and outfitted with in order to be effective witnesses to and stewards of His love and grace that He's put into our lives. After all, He's the one who designed the clothes, who designed grace and love, mercy and forgiveness. We are better off when we let Him put those things into our lives that He can then use to our and ultimately to His best benefit. Again, God knows what uniquely fits best for each one of us, for the tasks, the labors on this Labor Day weekend, the labors that He has for us individually to do. However, He also knows there are some elements to our suit of clothes as Christians that we all need to have in common. And some of those are the things that we talked about in the epistle lesson that I just read. Sometimes what I do here every week, it's sort of like what a tailor does. I'm trying to help you fit the clothes that God has picked out for you to wear on a particular week. They're the clothes God has chosen for you, and I'm trying to help you on with them and adjust them so that you can get the best use out of them. But they're clothes that are for you and no one else. They're for you to wear and for you to make use of each week. Simply put, God has things for you to do that no one else can do or is equipped to do. And as we've talked about before, you are not alone in this. So, you now have all you need for the week ahead that God has given to you and prepared for you from the beginning of the foundation of the world through the work of Jesus Christ. Like we said, you're not alone. And that includes choosing what to wear. It's clothing that God has given you. Without His clothes, you are not acceptable to Him. He clothes us in the righteousness of Christ, and so spares our life from the just punishment that is ours for turning away from Him in sin and rebellion. It's kind of like, do you remember the story, The Tale of Two Cities? A Tale of Two Cities. The character Charles Darnay was imprisoned and awaiting his death sentence. Just an hour before his execution, a man comes to visit him. The visitor has a daring plan. The two would exchange clothes. And by doing so, the visitor would become the prisoner and wear the clothes of the one condemned to die. Meanwhile, Darnay would wear the garments of the one who would walk free right out of the prison. The plan is carried out, and Darnay emerges from the prison a free man. Just so, Peter reminds us, on the cross, our Lord Jesus took our place, wearing the stained and grotesque garment of our sin. He endured the full weight of God's wrath against our sin. And we now are wearing His clothes, And he sets us free for all eternity. By his blood shed on that cross, Christ has bought and paid for our new clothes, clothes that allow us to walk forever in freedom. And those clothes are made up of Christ's very own righteousness. He has taken away the rags of sin that we had bound ourselves in and has put on us instead his cloak of perfect holiness. We truly live, each of us, we live a rags-to-riches story every day. And that clothing of his affects us every day. This is about clothing your mind and your heart with what God has prepared for you in Jesus Christ. Remember that how you clothe yourself says something about your self-image. Therefore, what your mind and soul are clothed with matters. It matters because if it's the soiled costume of this world, like the fellow in the devil's costume, then you're prepared only for the things of this world. But as we wear the suit of armor that God has given to us by grace, we're then prepared. Then we're prepared in Him to meet and endure the challenges of living in this world. The clothing that Christ has prepared for a Christian to wear, it is, as we've read in the epistle lesson, salvation, truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, and the word of God. These are his clothes that he puts on us, that prepare us for daily battle. These things, these holy things of God are his gift to us. They're what are given for us to wear so that our self-image conforms to the image of Christ living in us. We are to see ourselves, when you look in the mirror, we are to see ourselves by the grace of God as true possessors of these gifts. These holy things, these define who we are and how we are to live. Now we see ourselves dressed in these God-given clothes, given to us by the blood of Jesus from the cross. This image of being dressed in the full armor of God affects each and every moment of our day. Leave here today knowing that your rags of sin are gone and that you wear the righteousness of Christ each day by grace through faith in Him alone. In His name we pray, amen.